Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
The stress of money, no communication, sex, whatever it may be. If you got stuff going on in your house, talk to your spouse if you're married. And if you can't talk to them, you better find girls, find some girlfriends, guys, find some godly men who will encourage you to stay in the game.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
Let me read you a few stories. The Sunday school teacher had just finished the lesson. She had taught the portion of the Bible that told how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. She then asked if anyone had any questions or comments. Little Jeremy raised his hand. My mommy looked back once when she was driving and she turned into a telephone pole. Married life is full of excitement and frustration. In the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. In the third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. Loretta Lynn said, I'm a big opponent of divorce. Why leave the nut you got for one you don't know? 90% of men kiss their wife goodbye when they leave the house. 10% kiss the house goodbye when they leave the wife. Now, I'm going to read you one more here, and this is, you know, just pay attention to the age of the kid involved, and it'll hopefully we'll be all right. A mom is driving a little girl to her friend's house for a play date. Mommy, the little girl asks, how old are you? Well, honey, you're not supposed to ask a lady her age, the mother warns. It's not polite. Okay, the little girl says, how much do you weigh? Now, really, the mother says, these are personal questions and are really none of your business. Undaunted, the little girl asks, why did you and daddy get a divorce? Those are enough questions, honestly. The exasperated mother walks away as the two friends begin to play. My mommy wouldn't tell me anything, the little girl says to her friend. Well, said the friend, all you need to do is look at her driver's license. It's like a report card. It has everything on it. Later that night, the little girl says to her mother, I know how old you are. You're 32. The mother is surprised and asks, how'd you find that out? I also know that you weigh 140 pounds. The mother is past surprised and shocked now. How in heaven's name did you find that out? And the little girl says triumphantly, I know why you and daddy got a divorce. Oh, really? The mother asks, why? Because you got an F in sex. There we go. I've even got seniors applauding that one. I'm not sure why. The title to today's message is Coming Apart. And I'm going to talk to you today. Again, sometimes these things may not apply to you directly, but hopefully you're listening, not just for yourself. But at some point, we've got to be listening for the sake of helping somebody else. And if you just look at the statistics, if 50% of Christian and non-Christian marriages end in divorce, somebody's in trouble around you. And if 60-something percent of the second and 80-something percent of the third ones, somebody's in trouble, and anybody who goes to get married, you know there's a huge chance they're going to have some problems, so you better talk to them before. But if you don't get to them before, then during, early on, and as the process unfolds, you got to communicate with them. But sooner or later in these relationships, things start to come apart, and sometimes so much so that the two people have to come apart for there to be any possibility of reconciling or restoring or rebuilding any relationship. Now, I'm not a huge advocate of separations. When couples separate, unfortunately, a lot of times they never get back together. Because if they had problems to begin with, they get off on their own. You know, if the husband goes and gets an apartment, then he starts thinking he's feeling single again. And I'm, you know, there's not much motivation. If we start with the basic presupposition that you're both Christians, then I'd get some godly help, some counsel, get everybody you can around you and work on this thing. But if things are so out of hand, and I'll read you a list of things I think that can escalate to a point where they get to the point where maybe you do need to separate to figure it out, then there is a time for that. But there is hope even if it gets to that, and we're going to look at that a little bit today as well. To come apart or coming apart, just a simple definition in the dictionary means become separated into pieces or fragments, which doesn't sound like a very good thing, and that's why, unfortunately, a lot of times you get apart and you stay apart. I think the older you get, at least the older I get, the less simplistic I am with answers. And there are things that I still believe to be true, but I think sometimes we take pat answers to every situation that we know nothing about in particular and just throw an answer at people and say, well, God hates divorce, you shouldn't be getting divorced, and you know, I'll pray for you. Okay, well, that's biblical. God hates divorce. But have you bothered to talk to that person, listen to their situation, find out why they're having problems, why they're thinking about separating, why it may end up in divorce? You don't know their situation. And honestly, they don't need some simple answer. If it's not a painful thing, there's a problem there. It is usually a painful thing. They need somebody to talk them through it. And if they're not a Christian, they need some hope beyond this, even if it does unravel and come apart. You have an opportunity when people are in pain to talk to them about their lives. And if we are living our lives in such a way that people see the hope that's within us, then we ought to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, because someone's going to see it and say, how do you do this? How do you face challenges? But it's real life stuff. And you know what? When you're in the middle of that, even the answers that you are being reminded of in your brain, unless you apply that stuff, it's not going to stop you. And when people get emotional and there are feelings, and back to the joke, you know, we're laughing about getting an F in sex, but if it's the man or the woman, and there's all these things that church especially doesn't want to talk about, you know what? Sex is a huge deal in why marriages blow completely apart. And nobody wants to talk about it. No one will say the words out loud, and no one wants to walk in. You know, you go in the office and everybody says, well, boy, you look like you're having a rough time. I haven't had sex in a year, but I'll be all right. You know, what man's going to admit that? And if it's a bunch of guys sitting around talking, then it's all about conquest when you're single and, oh, yeah, everything's fine at my house. You know, it's all pride. You get enough pain, either you're going to go do something stupid or you're going to talk about it to somebody and say, you know what, I'm dying. And if you don't talk about these things, let me tell you something, it's going to come apart. The stress of money, no communication, sex, whatever it may be, if you got stuff going on in your house, talk to your spouse if you're married. And if you can't talk to them, you better find girls, find some girlfriends, guys, find some godly men who will encourage you to stay in the game. All right, let me read you, and some of this is just informational, I know, and I think it's important to put it out here. What is legal separation? Legal separation is a formal judgment issued by a court of law that all the issues concerning a marriage have been resolved: child custody, child visitation, child support, spousal support, distribution of property, attorney's fees, personal conduct, with the exception of marital status. A judgment of a legal separation lawsuit leaves the couple with the legal status of married persons while settling the respective rights and obligations that each spouse has to the other. Spouses who are legally separated are not free to marry, since neither has been returned to the legal status of an unmarried person. So you say, well, I live in a house with a man. It sounds like we're already separated. And there are people who exist, whether it's for religious reasons, some kind of spiritual reasons. They sleep in separate bedrooms. There hadn't been any intimacy in a decade, maybe. And they have an arrangement, basically. And they're maybe faithful to each other. They're just not intimate with each other either. And they exist. They cohabitate. And legally, everything looks like a marriage. And I'm not saying I'm against that. But man, get some help and at least figure out how to love each other if you're going to exist that way. There are different kinds of separation. There is a trial separation. You can just, what they call living apart. There's a permanent separation. There's a legal separation, which I read to you, and there's all kind of little nuances about these things. It's one thing to say, you know what, we need to take a deep breath. I'm going to go stay with my mom. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're there, or you've been there, or you sneak up on that spot, it'll take you out. And you just hold on by your nails. And you take a deep breath every day and say, God, I'm not sure how that, you don't even know if you're talking to God anymore. You're just holding on in that storm. But I don't ever want to stand up here. And I think, unfortunately, and I'm not saying there aren't preachers and people who just everything's bliss from the second they're married. But you know what? I don't know where those people live. And I don't know how you can be breathing and be married and not have some challenges somewhere if you're communicating at all. Now, if you're just doing the God bless you and praise the Lord and, you know, shooting heroin in the garage or something, I mean, I don't know how you survive it. Sooner or later, it's going to come to a head and you're going to have some conflict. So I'm not up here telling you that I've figured it all out, but I am up here telling you I know what this feels like when you get right up to the edge and you think, I don't know if we're going to make it. Now, what has got to happen for it to get so crazy that you say, you know what? It's just not safe. For some reason, I've got to get out of this house. Something's got to change for your physical safety or maybe that of your children. Abuse. Let me talk to you about some different types of abuse. Physical abuse, which is body torture that is used to subdue and control another person. You say, well, that's not happening. It's happening. There is bizarre stuff. If someone is being beaten within an inch of their life, I mean, you see it on the news. We get these little tips of the iceberg every once in a while where you hear something going on and no one wants to talk about this stuff. Sexual abuse, torturing both a person physically and emotionally using unlawful sex acts as a weapon. In other words, prostitution, adultery, incest, homosexuality, rape, marriage rape, anything immoral or illegal sexually. And you say, well, but people can do things sexually when they're married. The term marriage rape, what do you think that is? That is a woman basically being raped in her own house by her own husband, where he says, you know what? The Bible, and this is what gets really twisted, the Bible says you belong to me and I'm going to take what's mine. Now, I wouldn't for the life of me say, give me a show of hands, but I promise you in this room right here, we got women who have put up with some twisted stuff in regard to the stresses of sex in a marriage alone and tried to figure out how am I going to, and you're too proud maybe, and who's going to go to church and say, yeah, I got a prayer request. My husband raped me last night. Will somebody pray for me? You're not telling anybody that. Maybe one girlfriend, maybe a friend somewhere, but we're terrified. Why? Because there's so much pressure to hold it together and to look good and to say everything's all right, especially if you're a Christian. If you got trouble, tell somebody. Tell a godly person. Get somebody to talk through with it. I wouldn't go blabbing your business just to anybody everywhere, but find somebody you trust and say, look, I need to know if I'm losing my mind, if this is normal, because sometimes what the enemy will say is, well, this is happening in every house. So if stuff's going on in your marriage or in someone you know's marriage, I'm not saying you need to leave the whatever you call him or her, whichever way this is going, but it can get pretty crazy. Verbal abuse, designed to distort the truth a person holds about something or someone, including themselves, in order to gain control over someone's mind. Now you say, well, it's just verbal abuse. Anybody can handle that. Don't give people little simple answers. Well, is he beating you? Well, no. Well, what's he doing? It can't be that bad. You don't live in that house. You say, well, you just need to have more faith. And say, well, you live with him for a month and we'll see how you feel about that. Or her, either way this is going. I'm not saying don't encourage people to do the right thing, the biblical thing, but don't go popping off simple answers to situations you don't know anything about. Listen to people, process it, and even if you end up saying the same thing at the end, at least you've been gentle and kind and patient and loving enough to say, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but I still want to encourage you to try this, and I'm not just going to tell you, you can come stay with me, or we'll surround you, or we'll get some friends to pray and help you through the process. There's even a spiritual or kind of religious abuse used to manipulate another person to serve any other god than Jesus, if you're a Christian, while many times exalting the abuser. At its worst, it's satanic ritual abuse, which may times include all the other categories of abuse. And, you know, maybe I'm just living under the planet, but I end up sitting down with people who've been around all this satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality disorders and just terrible things that happen. Now, if none of this applies, you say, well, you know what? I don't know where. You just need to get around the right kind of people, you know. You're hanging out with the wrong kind of people. You know what? I'm hanging out with the same kind of people Jesus did, obviously, because he was surrounded with people who couldn't get any answers, any satisfaction, anything from the religious people, and he shows up and starts talking about stuff they lived with and faced and were confronted with every day, and he understood and would process it, and they'd want to stone him, and he'd say, all right, let's stone her. Who's without sin? Let's go at it. And then they'd back down. He defended people who had real problems and were genuinely trying to get some answers and change their life. And that's part of what we're supposed to be in the business of doing. Now, let me read you some of these scriptures. Matthew 19, verse 3 and following. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate or tear asunder, one passage puts it. And the word separate means to separate, to divide, to part, put asunder, separate oneself from, to depart, to leave a husband or a wife, to divorce, to depart, to go away. Obviously, the Bible's not encouraging you to go away, but there is a time to get away from a dangerous situation. And there may be an opportunity to reconcile where if you don't get away, you literally could die. Now you say, well, you're giving me extreme examples. Absolutely. But somewhere between the extreme and just these frivolous lawsuits, you can jump in these marriages and jump out and nobody cares anything. It's just way too easy to get in and out of this. So be careful again before you get in. But if you get in, try to stay in as much as you can. And let me jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul writing here to the Corinthians, and if you think it's screwed up here, just read about Corinth. I mean, these people were messed up. And he's got all these issues to resolve. And by the way, you wouldn't even have half of the New Testament if it wasn't for screwed up Christians. The reason we got so much practical stuff is they were as messed up as we are. And the apostles, the writers had to address these issues and try to help these people say, no, you can't be sleeping with your father's wife. The Gentiles aren't even doing that. Stop doing that. 1 Corinthians 10, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him. Now listen to this. Okay, you're married to a guy who's not a Christian, and you are willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let him not divorce him. So you say, well, I married someone and I became a Christian and they're not a Christian, I'm out of here because I have a right to be happy. No, you have the right to remain silent and stay home. And this applies to the man or the woman here. If they're willing to stay married to you, now what is the purpose in this? Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. So let's say you're married. Now, here's where it really gets tricky. You say, well, I thought I married a Christian man, but I can tell you right now, he cannot be a Christian man by the way he's living. So now you've turned him into a non-Christian just because you want to get out of here. He either is a Christian or he's not. And if he's not a Christian, you can't use that as an excuse to get out anyway. Now, your reason for staying is what? To see the guy saved. You say, I don't want him saved. I don't want to be in heaven with that idiot. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe if he got saved, he'd change? Amen. Are you speaking from personal experience down here? Yes, sir. How many of you are married and you've had some tough times and you decided to work it out, separate, come back to whatever, and you're still married and you think you're going to make it to the finish line, raise your hand. Now look around the room. Very encouraging. And how many of you have sold the weapon you purchased? That, back there, I see that hand. All right, let me keep reading. Well, listen to how this wraps up in verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now, you know, and all this stuff, by the way, applies to Christians. To try to impose this, don't go reading the Bible to people who don't believe any of this stuff. You say, well, the Bible says, you know what? They don't give a rip what the Bible says. I'm unhappy. I want out of here. Keep your Bible stuff. You know what? You people are just as screwed up as we are. Half of Christians end up divorced. So what are you talking to me about? It doesn't even work for your own kind. Why don't you use some of your own medicine before you come touting it out here? So don't go putting this on there. The best way to affect somebody's life that's not a Christian is to live out the Christian life. And the hands that went up and the couples that are holding on. I'm not saying anything bad about the ones that didn't make it. Who knows what your situation was? And you know what? You might have just quit. That's always a possibility too. You say, well, why did your marriage end? Because I quit trying, gave up, divorced the guy and got out because I was tired and I was done. I didn't care what God or anybody said and I'm out. Now, what are we going to do with you? There's enough consequence of that decision anyway. We're going to have mercy on you too and find out if you've worked through that process and acknowledge that before God and you're moving on, and we're going to help you too move on because we don't shoot our wounded. At least we didn't used to. At some point, it gets beyond my happiness and my little family and where you are healthy enough in your relationship with God as a Christian, where if you are married to a non-believer, man or woman, you say, you know what, Lord, I claim to love this person and I'm not real happy and this is not fun anymore. But I love you enough and I love them enough to hang on. And I'm asking you to use my life, the pain, the suffering, the joy, the peace, everything that I've got in spite of my situation, Even if we separate, I'm going to keep coming back. If he leaves me, she leaves me, I cannot control that, but I'm going to try to do everything I can under God by your power to hold on here. If I have to get safely away from him because my life or the children's lives are in danger, I'll do that. But I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I am willing, not my will, but your will be done. Now you say, well, that sounds all real easy, but it can be very painful if you take that road. Let me tell you something. You got pain either way. You get out, you got pain. You stay in, you got pain. And one of my favorite verses in the whole book is in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, talking about Jesus. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, this isn't very popular, and you can't raise money on TV and the radio with it. You are going to suffer. Sooner or later, you are going to suffer. It is part of the deal. You cannot be a Christian and not suffer. It is better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing, but you're going to suffer. And you say, well, I'm a man, and she's supposed to have sex with me, and what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? You know what? You're going to suffer. You say, well, I'm not cut out for this, and I'm out of here. And then what's your explanation going to be? Well, I had to have sex. What are you going to do if she breaks her neck in an accident and is paralyzed the rest of your life? What are you going to say to her then? Well, sweetheart, I really love you, but you can't have sex with me. You see how paralyzed you are? So I'll be seeing you. I'm out of here. See, then you'd say, well, oh no, that's different. She's paralyzed. And I understand that. Well, you know what? She may be paralyzed by just being lost. She may be paralyzed by being in a bad place. Menopause. Who knows what it is? I hate to bring that up, but that is part of it. All right, one more. Ephesians 4:30-32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You want to know how to treat that person no matter what they've done to you? You say, but you don't understand. You say, well, you know what? I don't need to hear all your stuff. I know what I've done to God. And if he's willing to forgive me, then I ought to be willing to forgive somebody else. Is it easy to forgive? No. Is it better to forgive? Absolutely. And if you don't, you will pay till the day you die. Let it go.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that even though things come apart, you can put them back together. And I pray for hurting people today, people at the end of all this who the divorce is final, people have remarried, it's gone on, but yet there's still the scars, open wounds maybe, from just even talking and hearing about this. Maybe it happened in their family, their mom, their dad, it's just all too fresh. I pray that you'd help them process, Lord. I pray for the couples who are in the middle of this stuff right now, maybe some of them actually separated and trying to sort through and communicate and reconnect, some who are thinking about making this decision, and some, Lord, who are praying like mad and the feelings have gone, the I don't love you anymore, I don't feel anything anymore stuff has kicked in. I thank you, Father, that love is a choice and that feelings come and go, but when we choose to love you and choose to love each other, eventually the feelings show up. Help us not build our lives just on feelings. And Father, for the huge encouragement of people who have faced hard times, maybe even separation, and though things appeared to be coming apart and they did have to come apart for a while, that you are a God that can take an absolute disaster and with the glue of your grace put it all back together. Father, for somebody who's listening today who it isn't about separation from a husband or a wife, it's about separation from you. And they know something's wrong, and they've been critical of church and religion and just can't stand all the hypocrisy and using all these excuses to stay away from you. I pray that somebody today would say, you know what, God, I can't blame all these other things. I finally see now that you love me and that I am separated from you and there's no one at fault but me. You've done everything possible. What more could you do than give your only son to die on the cross and shed his blood for my sin? Be buried and raised from the dead, to conquer life, death, sin, every problem I've got. And yet somehow I continue to reject you. Lord, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't want to live without you, and I sure don't want to die without you. I don't want to be separated from you anymore. My life's coming apart, and I want you to put it back together. I accept the gift of eternal life that Jesus bought and paid for, the forgiveness of sin that he offers freely. Come live in me and through me. Change my life from the inside out. And may people who know me know that you're the one who's put it all back together. You're the best, Father. I thank you that we can laugh and cry and deal with real issues and just ask you to use us to be salt and light in the world this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.